The following Compassion Radio Classic program initially aired in July of 2015.
Coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
It's cancer that there has been some good medical progress on in the last couple of decades, but it's still terminal. The expected lifespan for myeloma patients used to be 2 to 3 years, and it's now 5 to 7 years. I had just celebrated my 39th birthday and my 10th anniversary. We had a 1 and 3 year old at home. Immediately, a sense of crying out for the sake of my children.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. From the front lines of faith, abroad and at home. This is the daily radio journal that tells the breakthrough story hiding in every dark corner. We all want to be there for our kids and our spouse. Well, what if that's less likely than we thought? What if dreams and plans run into an immovable wall called cancer? Everything changes in an instant. Or does it? Where is God when it all seems to go wrong? Well, today's guest is a living embodiment of that question. Thankfully, his experience comes with some important answers, too, and he's gifted enough to tell it with some powerful and moving words. Here's Norm to introduce today's Hero of the Faith.
Our guest today on Compassion Radio is Dr. Todd Billings. And Dr. Billings is the Gordon H. Girard Research Professor of Reformed Theology at Western Theological Seminary in Holland, Michigan, not too far from where my wife basically grew up. Todd, it is really an honor and a privilege to have you with us on Compassion Radio today. Thanks so much.
It's great to be with you.
Todd, you have written a book that, I have to say, in all honesty, this is one of the most profound books that I've read in years. And it comes out of an experience in your life, and I want to get right to that experience, and then we can explore some of the struggles and the wrestling that's gone on and the way that God has worked in your life and used you in this time. Let me just begin by saying in September of 2012, you got information that really changed your life, didn't it?
Yes, definitely.
Tell us about it, Todd.
Well, I had been undergoing some tests just because I had some problems with my immune system. I seemed to be getting colds a lot and got pneumonia several times, but I didn't think a lot of it. But my doctor called me in, and I was sitting in the doctor's office doing some academic work, actually editing a chapter from a book I was working on. And he came in and said that it was pretty clear that I had cancer and incurable blood cancer. And he told me a few things about it, but I really knew that it was not a good thing when he gave the referral to the nurse, and the nurse was talking in a normal voice on the phone, and then she whispered the name of the cancer, multiple myeloma, into the phone. She didn't even want to speak it aloud. And I was like, you know, what is happening?
Todd, did you know what multiple myeloma is at the time of that message from the doctor?
I really didn't know very much at all. And so the next few weeks were ones of finding out a lot more about it. And it's cancer that there has been some good medical progress on in the last couple of decades, but it's still a very serious and terminal diagnosis. So I remember actually going to a conference just a couple weeks after we traveled to a multiple myeloma conference for patients. And they put a slide up on the screen that said that the expected average lifespan for myeloma patients had doubled in the last couple of decades, that it used to be 2 to 3 years after the diagnosis at my stage, and it's now 5 to 7 years. And everyone starts clapping, and I'm, you know, I had just celebrated my 39th birthday and my 10th anniversary with my wife. We had a 1- and 3-year-old at home, and, you know, immediately my mind thinks 5 to 7 years. That doesn't even bring my daughter into middle school. And immediately a sense of crying out before God, not because I deserve a long life, but really especially because for the sake of my children, Lord, why would you do this? Why would you take away the father of my children at this age?
You use a word in the book at this point. You talk about narrowing, a sense of the narrowing of the scope, perhaps even the potential of your life. And I found that a very compelling thing. It's like, in a sense, your future was just shrinking right in front of you. Can you speak to that?
Yes. It was a strange feeling in that I had never thought to myself, you know, well, I'm definitely going to live until my 70s and retire and see grandkids. I never knew that that was a guarantee or something like that. But I had kind of assumed that that was most likely and lived in light of that. And so with such a dramatic change in my expected lifespan, it felt like there were lights going off in rooms ahead that I didn't even know the rooms existed. I didn't even know I was expecting to have the lights on there.
Yeah.
And so there was a kind of narrowing and focusing on the life that's right before me, and also just the sense that every breath, every friendship and connection with family member is a gift of grace and a completely undeserved gift, not to be taken for granted.
Yeah, yeah. Todd, one of the things you speak to in the book, and there are so many that I'd like to engage. I don't know if we can do this on program. And by the way, the title of the book, and I want our listeners to know about this, Rejoicing in Lament. Wow, what a title. Rejoicing in Lament. They seem to be paradoxical. By the way, the book was, it came out this year in 2015, and it's published by Baker Bookhouse, which I think is not too far away from where you are there in Holland, Michigan. The subtitle, I think, is very suggestive. It's Wrestling with Incurable Cancer and Life in Christ. I understand the wrestling with incurable cancer once you got that message, that diagnosis. What about the wrestling with life in Christ? You mentioned that you more or less assumed that you were going to have a long life, and I think virtually all of us feel that way. But did you feel that God in some way owed you a long life and that he was going back on his promise to you when you received this diagnosis?
Yeah, I felt all sorts of things. And so there were certain times that I felt like that, and there were certain times where I felt anger toward God. And it was in that process that I discovered the Psalms of Lament in a new way. The Psalms have always been important for me in prayer, but particularly the Psalms of Lament, I found that, you know, the psalmists are angry before God, and they actually accuse God at certain times, but they do it in the context of trust and hope in God's promise, even when things do not look like, you know, the fulfillment of God's promise. And so I think that that's some of how we came to the title, the initial title, Rejoicing in Lament. It's both the sense that Christian lament is something to be rediscovered, and like rediscovering lament, that lament is an act of faith and trust in God. It's not an act of unbelief. And in some circles, it can feel like, you know, it's unbelief if you are crying out to God, you know, God, where have you gone? Why have you left me alone? But this is exactly what the psalmist does. But it's also rejoicing in the midst of lament, that when we allow ourselves to come before the Lord in prayer and to bring all of our different emotions that we're not even proud of.
Yeah.
It also allows us to enter into the place as creatures who have been adopted by God in Christ and to express gratitude and joy. And there's a lot of gratitude and expression of joy in my journey as well. And that is certainly part of that journey with the Psalms also.
Todd, we have and you mentioned this in the book, we have a kind of a cultural problem. And that is, we don't deal very well with the reality of death and dying. Our culture really doesn't help us to deal with this sort of a situation, does it?
Yeah, there's been a quite dramatic cultural change along this line. And even in the middle of the 20th century for, you know, Western industrialized countries, the vast majority of deaths took place in homes. And now the, you know, vast majority of deaths take place in hospitals or, you know, some related institution. And it occurred to me as a father of young children that really the only place where my children could be around someone who was dying just in the normal course of things was in our congregation. The only place that they could get to know someone, because at work and in other environments, you know, we've set up a culture so that the dying have their own separate place. It's no longer public to our eyes. And this makes it all the more difficult in some ways to come to terms with our mortality. And also, just even for a family like my own, a young family like my own, the congregation becomes this treasure of resources where people have walked the path of cancer before. They've walked the path of losing a spouse before. And it can be a place where we journey together.
We'll be back with more of this powerful story in just a moment.
This is Cher Nelson with a special word for those of you who are actively involved with supporting the broadcast ministry of Compassion Radio. You are our heroes. We're also grateful to each of you who give to our Compassion projects as well. Without you, we could not be the hands and feet of Jesus in these difficult places. But those of you who stand with us in the financial support of the ministry, especially you who have pledged a monthly gift, you are the backbone of everything we do, and we are grateful and blessed by your understanding of the need.
The number to reach us is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can find us 24/7 on the Internet at CompassionRadio.com. If you're the kind of person who truly wants to see God perform miracles in this day and age, we want to hear from you. And your call today will make it a reality. And now, back to the program.
You know, it's interesting. You do a little critique of modern worship, and you use the words distraction and diversion from death and dying. How does modern worship really, in a sense, not help us to deal with this reality? Is modern worship, in a sense, part of the denial that's going on in the culture itself?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it often is part of the denial in many modern contexts, whether it's a church that is, you know, singing popular praise songs or even one that has more traditional hymns. One thing that is noticeable is how rare laments are, and particularly the Psalms of Lament. So it was after this that I noticed comparisons of hymn books, for example, of over a dozen different denominations. And the number of laments in them is a tiny percent of the overall hymn book. Yet in the Psalms, Lament is the most widespread type of psalm. Over a third of the psalms are psalms of lament. And historically, this has been considered the prayer book and one of the central song books for the church. And so, you know, I don't want to be misunderstood. We have joy in Christ, and we should be celebrating that in worship and celebrating God's love in worship. But when we do not have the raw questions of lament that the psalmists do, and when that's not incorporated into our worship, we can easily give the sense that people who are facing those raw questions are in moments of unbelief, whereas for the psalmists and for the New Testament, which is frequently quoting the Psalms of Lament, and Jesus himself lamenting and quoting Psalms of Lament, these were considered acts of faith. But I think that often today people, I've spoke with many Christians who feel embarrassed to lament, to bring grief as well as anger before God in worship.
We do have resources, that's for sure, within the church. It has a treasure, actually, of elements within worship and so forth that enable us to draw on the truths of God. For example, you talk about the sacraments, or as many Christian churches identify them, the ordinances, and in particular baptism and the Lord's Supper. How does baptism, for one thing, how does that help us to come to terms with, you know, this reality of life?
Yeah, I think in two ways that I rediscovered in light of this cancer journey. One is just that God has signs of his love to us in physical ways. So the water touches our body, and when we encounter water in other contexts, which is so central to our lives as humans, we can be reminded of that. And for me, it was so crucial to have things like water and the bread and the cup as physical signs of God's love, because I was having physical signs of the current reign of death all the time.
Sure.
I had hundreds of pokes into my body and tests, and I just felt like my body was being poked and prodded all the time. And if our faith is just a matter of the head and isn't touching our body in some way, then we haven't, God's love hasn't sunk in quite as much. And the other thing with baptism is that it is a sign of our dying and rising with Christ, that we are people who hope in the resurrection. But as ones who hope in the resurrection, death is a part of it. Death does not, our physical death does not have the final word because of Jesus. But on the other hand, our whole lives are ones, as baptism tells us, of dying to the self and living in God. It's not that we are already just good people that God comes along and makes us better and better. But there is something about death that is part of the cure for our position, for our relationship before God. And I particularly saw that in new ways when I received a stem cell transplant, which basically is a high dose of poison, a mustard gas derivative, as part of the healing treatment for my cancer. And there's a similar way in which all Christians, I think, have to move through death in certain form in order to experience this new life in Christ.
Todd, one other thing comes to mind, and that is you mentioned how the elderly are so often, and the sick are put out of sight in our culture. That's a that's a real problem, isn't it?
I think it is a real problem in general for our society, and it's a particular problem for us as Christians, because the new humanity that we have been incorporated into in Christ is one where, you know, my 3-year-old has been united into the same family as the 95-year-old in our congregation. And if we never see each other and never have fellowship with each other, then we're not living into that God-given identity. And so it's something that at times we have to even move across and through institutions to live into that well. In my congregation, we've started to have families with young children sometimes adopt an older person whose family has passed away and are, you know, alone in a nursing home, but are part of the congregation so that they have these sorts of connections. And it's not just for the older person, it's for the young family too. We both need each other, and that's not just a general sentiment. This is part of our identity in Christ and this humanity that we've been incorporated into.
That's such an important insight. We've been talking to Dr. Todd Billings today about a wonderful book that he has written called Rejoicing in Lament. And the subtitle really tells a story. It's called Wrestling with Incurable Cancer and Life in Christ. And that's been Todd's experience. And the book is absolutely, I think it's one of the most profound books I've read in years. So we're going to have the opportunity to probe a little deeper into this issue about the wrestling that he has gone through and what he has learned and can pass on to us.
And there you have it, a Compassion Radio classic program featuring the late Reverend Dr. Norm Nelson. It's our honor and privilege to occasionally dip into the vast well of programs we've produced over the years, and we felt this was a good one to share again with you today. Now, as we approach the finish line for today, here's a final word from the gentleman who has so skillfully and gracefully stepped into the president's role in this intrepid ministry, and that's Bram Floria.
Friends, when you give to Compassion Radio, you're not just giving to a radio ministry, you're giving to a kingdom cause. We go places that many people don't go. In fact, for the past 30 years, Norm and Cher have gone to almost 150 countries at last count, finding out where God's hand is at work and joining in the effort to reach people that have never heard of him before. The kind of that last mile gospel. So you help us do those things in ways that many people just can't. We're intrepid, of course, but you go with us in every one of those adventures. And then we bring the stories back to you of how your investment in Compassion Radio made the difference for so many key people that are on the front lines of faith. We thank you for standing with us. We need you this month to do that very thing. There are great stories coming, and we can't go unless you send us.
And the bottom line is, these are stories that you just won't hear anywhere else, friends.
Friends, when you give to Compassion Radio, you give to something that's bigger than even I can imagine. Now, I'm stepping into this chair as your host after 74 years of incredible leadership by Wilbur and Norm Nelson, and I'm eager to get on with how their vision has already formed me, and to see how he's going to take me to new places in new ways. I don't even know what those things are yet, but I know I have a strong enough template, Jimmy, to step into. Even if I just followed in Norm's footsteps for the past 20 years, we'd have years and years worth of material to put on the air.
And so far, it's just been a piece of cake, right, Bram?
Well, since nothing that Norm ever did was easy, or the places he went to were ever easy places, no. But what it is meaningful and worthwhile. And those kind of adventures, I think, are important because they have eternal significance. Friends, here's how you can get a hold of us right now. By mail at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859.
And when you give us a call at 1-800-868-2478, you will speak to a wonderful voice on the other end who will love to hear from you. 800-868-2478.
Paula and Lena are with us throughout the day, and they treat prayer like a real weapon. So if you need something battle in the heavenlies, these ladies would love to cover you. So don't be afraid to ask for prayer cover for something that God's allowing you to go through right now, because this is a team sport, friends, as we engage together in fighting the spiritual battles overseas on the front lines of faith. There are front lines right here too, and we can join in with you in whatever God's put you in. So call us today at 1-800-868-2478. And of course, online at CompassionRadio.com, you can drop us a message any time of day. You can add a note to any one of your gifts to Compassion Radio, and there's also email links for any questions or prayer requests you might have. So take advantage of all that at CompassionRadio.com.
Anytime, friend, that you can take a minute out of your busy day to just pop on over to our webpage, CompassionRadio.com, or give us a call. It just means so much to us, friend. So please do.
Jimmy, that number to reach us would be 800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. The website is CompassionRadio.com, and of course, that's up 24/7. And if you're fond of things like stamps and envelopes, we still take that kind of mail.
Really?
We really do. And that address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859.
Thanks for listening today, friend. And we'll be back with you again tomorrow with more Compassion Radio.